Well, today's daf is Daf Samach Zayin, Boker Tov. We're ready to start at the Mishnah, and Rabbi Josh once again is not here, and I'll have to take over his place. Zakar Eilat Mishnah. Bat Yisrael, Shri Yisrael Kohen Meit, V'inichal Me'uberet, Lo Yochlu Avadeo B'Trumah, Mipnech Chelko Shel Ubar. Before we begin the explanation of this Mishnah, let's just take a look a little bit more globally at what's going on, and also get a little bit of a review of the background of the Dinim that they were taken for granted over here. First of all, we know that Yevamot comes to teach us the din of the Arayot. Well, that essentially the two issues are intimately interwoven to the point where if there's no Arayot, there's no Isur Arayot, there's not even a din of Yevamot, despite the fact that someone is your sister. Remarkable thing. But in any event, the Isur Lavim, of course, are also included in this, the Isur Kohunar. And this discussion began already in the previous paragraph when we were discussing the types of Bia. That would be Bia Lagabi Kinyan, and Bia Lagabi Erva, and Bia Lagabi Gibun, and so on. So we began the perek by taking a look at the Isurei Lavim of Kahuna and the interesting changes that would occur if she becomes a Chalol or doesn't become a Chalol, the difference between Bat Yisrael and Bat Kohen, very fascinating. But there's an interesting subset of issues going on over here besides the typical Yevamos Arayos orientation. That is, there is only one place that we find the same relationship of the child to father that we do in Yibum, and that's the Gabe Achilas Truma by Kohen. In other words, we know that as long as a brother has a descendant, we explored this in terms of period of Arivia. We went into great detail about this issue when it came to Yibum. What's the relationship of a grandchild and what type of grandchild is their head, their moms, or so on, when it came to the Chiev of Yibum. And there is this also issue of Achila Betruma. We have this in two separate directions. If a Bat Kohen, who would normally be eating Truma, by virtue of her being a Bat Kohen in her father's home, she continues to eat Truma, so long as she doesn't get married. If she gets married to a Ben Yisrael, so the moment that she has Erisin and she's nitna to Ben Yisrael, she's no longer the Beit Avia. She can't eat Truma. The moment that that husband dies, and she goes back, Kine Ureha, the Beit Avia, at that point she goes back to Achilas Truma, but on condition that she is in a pristine state, Kine Ureha. So therefore, if she would still have any children from that husband, a very interesting thing, then she's no longer Kinura, and in effect, her husband still exists in the child, a case similar to Yibum, or a case similar to the Inyana period of Arivia. And over there, she would not eat Truma. So in that sense, a child passes her from eating Truma if she's a Bat Kohen. The opposite is also true. A Bat Yisrael who marries a Kohen, so the moment that he takes her, Kinyan Kaspo and Yelid Beito, Hu Yochalbo, she is Kinyan Kaspo, and theoretically, even as an Arusa, should eat, except that we have a Gezerah, that we're afraid that she's going to share her Truma with her siblings. There's also Gezerah. Maybe he'll find Simpon, he'll find something wrong with her after he takes her to bed. The whole thing will become annulled, and then she'll be eating as a Zara Truma the whole time. Whatever the reason is, the Chachomim will go there. When it comes to Erisin, she's not open. But the moment that the Kiddushin is, we're beyond Kiddushin, we're into Nisuin, she becomes now an Eshet Kohen, who is Kinyan Kaspo, and she continues to eat. Now, if her husband dies, obviously there's nothing to be machil her betruma. She's now a Bas Yisrael, who's not married to a Kohen. She can't eat truma anymore. However, if she has a child from that Kohen, then the Kohen essentially lives. Now this we are derived from the Pasuk. Yelid beito hu yochalbo, which Bapashis is a reference to his avodim. However, we darshan it, yelid beito hu yachilbo, so that one who was born from him can continue to be machil his mother in truma. So here we have a fascinating similarity to Yibum, which the Uber is now a continuation of the father's presence. Now this dual relationship of a Bas Kohen who has a child from a Yisrael that passes, or a Bas Yisrael that has a child from a Kohen who is Machshir, has also an interesting side effect. Because we introduced the parak with the issue of Avodim, and the difference between Avodim that are Nichsei Malug, and Avodim that are Nichsei Tzon Barzel. So if the Avodim are Nichsei Malug, so they're meant for plucking, so to speak. So the husband now has a right to the production, but the actual body is owned by the woman. In a case where she has rights to eat, so then she would be able to give her avonim what to eat. So if the avonim are hers, so then she feeds them because of her own rights to truma. However, in a case where the avonim are his, we run into problems. Because when the avonim are the husband's, in that case they're Abed Son Barzel, where he has an actual kidinakuf. Now the Yorshim have to be capable of feeding those Avodim, because they can't eat through her, they have to be able to eat through them, the Yorshim. And here's where our Mishnah talks about the interesting distinction of the Bat Kohen and the Bat Yisrael. So now with that background, let's take a look at the Mishnah and see how much of a great sense it makes. Bat Yisrael, in a case where a Bat Yisrael was eating a truma because she was Niseit Lekohen, and now he dies. V'hinichamu uberet, he leaves her pregnant. Now it doesn't really matter whether he leaves her pregnant and she has other children that she's eating truma because of, or not. Because our interest is, what is the halacha over here of the avadim that are avdei tzon barzel? Not the avadim that are nifsei maluk. The avadim that are nifsei maluk, they're going to eat because of her. If there's other children that are ma'achel or refined, then they will eat because she eats, her avadim. But the nifsei tzon barzel, which means that for all intents and purposes, they are steel chattel, meaning that they will never, ever lose value because the commitment is in the ketubah to the precise the assessment of their value at the time of the marriage, and therefore she has them, always. That was the language, tzon barzel. Over there, they belong really to the estate. Now the question is, who is the estate? If they left her pregnant, if her husband left her pregnant, the estate consists of an uber. And there may be other children as well. The problem is, because an uber has kinyanim in the estate, if he has no rights to be ma'achil, then this eved's in big trouble, because it's partially owned, for all intents and purposes, by a non-ma'achil. We might as well call him a czar. Although I don't want to say that, because it's a little bit of a question later on, how exactly we view this uber. That's, we'll see. We're going to get into the details of why this would be true. But the question is, even though she's eating, her nifsitz on barza, where the uber would have to feed the eved, who is now his, they won't eat. Now, there's a number of possibilities as to why that's true. One is, yalid beito, hu yochalbo, which we dash it, hu yachilbo, then that would mean the children feed her. Remember, that was the drasha. So then that would mean the children feed the eved, in the same sense, but that would mean yalid. An uber is not yalid by definition. An uber is a non-yalud, and therefore it's impossible to hu yachil. In this case, he hasn't been born. That's one possibility. We'll see, there's other possibilities as well. But let's take that as a moment, as a working assumption. So the avadim cannot eat truman b'tnei chalko shel ubar, because this ubar owns either all of them or part of them, depending on whether they're other brothers. And the din is that an uber is posel. Meaning that if a Bat Kohen marries a Yisrael and she is left pregnant by her husband, that is enough for her not to be able to get back to her father's house and a kine ureah, because she's pregnant. That wasn't the way she was kine ureah, we would hope. And so she's not going to get back to her father, so how is she going to be able to eat? And it's eino ma'achil. If she's a Bat Yisrael and he leaves her pregnant, that uber does not have keyach to feed her or the avadim. That's how Rashi learns. Tosus learns that in other words, according to Rashi, it's interesting, we're talking about the din of the Eved, but then we switch to discussing her, and we just, by implication, the Eved, right? In other words, we started saying the Avadim can't eat because of the Uber. Why? Because an Uber passels his mother from eating if she's a Bat Kohen, and an Uber won't feed his mother if she's a Bat Yisrael, and he is the potential son of a Kohen. It's a little bit strange, because we were talking about the Avadim, all of a sudden we're talking to her, but we, according to Rashi, we simply extrapolate, well, if he can't feed her, he's not going to feed the Avadim either. The truth is, it's not 100% clear, you see, because when it comes to the din of feeding her, that we have to darshan from Yalid Beito Hu Yochal Darshan Hu Yachil, so that he has to be Yalud. But when it comes to the Kohen's Eved eating, that is from Kinyan Kaspo, so that the question of his being born or not being born, in a sense, is irrelevant when it comes to that issue. And for Rashi to simply say, well, let's extrapolate it, the local Kalpashot. So therefore, Tosus learns that Enoch Hinanle, this posel, the ideal of here is posel the avadim. That's the point. Posel avde aviv, but eno machil et imo. So that would be what it would mean, because he said, actually, I would prefer to say they're both talking about the avadim, because after all, that's the topic of the Mishnah. But if an uber is posel, it's a little bit silly to say eno machil. Obviously, it's posel, it's not machil. So okay, I admit that Rashi's half right. In other words, when it comes to the idea over here, that eno machil, it means he won't be machil his mother, who he left was left over now from a marriage to the kuna. But what?
Even if there are other kids.
No. There's other kids. The other kids might be machil. It doesn't say he passels her. He passels the avodin because of his chelek, but he doesn't passel his mother. There's nothing wrong with him. Rashi's learning passels his mother is talking about a bas kohen. That would be an actual passel. But Tosfos says, but that's not what our mission is talking about. Okay, but let's assume right now there's not that much difference in the approach. Tosus also understands that, of course, what Rashi is saying is that it's an extrapolation. The reason that we would want to avoid such an extrapolation is because the extrapolation may be dependent on the reasoning. In other words, as I told you before, if the svar is hu yochal, hu yachil, there may be a difference between the mother and the eved. So we wouldn't want to necessarily say that the Mishnah is talking about something else and then not examine its connection to the mother to the eved, which may not follow necessarily, as we're going to see in the Gemara. The mother would be okay. That's why it says, Yinikham Uber doesn't say anything about whether she's eating or not. It's irrelevant. She's eating because there's another 60 children she had from her. But that's not enough to be machil the Eved.
No.
Because we have the chilek of the Eved who is the Tzon Barzel. Right. And if same look would eat if she eats. If it's hers. Yeah. Good. Okay. So we've got a lot of different issues taken into consideration over here. And we have to remember if we're talking about Kohen, or whether we're talking about Yisrael, or we're talking about Avonim that are Nifsei Malud, or we're talking about Avonim that are Nifsei Tzon Barzel, or we're talking about whether there are other Yorishim, or whether this is the only Yorish, and naturally we're going to have to get into the issue later on, are we talking about males or females, the other children that are alive, which would change the relationship of the Yerusha, at least, if not the Achila. So, again, the Uber is posel, the Eino Ma'achil, the Rabbi Yossi, this is my klal, says Rabbi Yossi. Now, of course, that klal is dependent on a number of things. First of all, it's dependent on an assumption, which is a big, big assumption, that an Uber has property rights. Because it's only since that Uber has property rights, and therefore it's considered to be an owner who's unable to be ma'achil. Now, that's not so question. Not everybody agrees that an Uber has property rights. So that's our first assumption that Rabbi Yossi is making, and indeed that may be the fundamental problem in whether people are going to agree with Rabbi Yossi. Before we get into the other issues of whether even if he had property rights, would he be able to be ma'achil, and why or why not. Then we're making also these other assumptions that for some reason, even though he would have property rights, he isn't bekayach to be ma'achil, despite the fact that the ability to be ma'achil, l'chora, is not dependent on Yelid Beito, it's only dependent on Kinyan Kaspo. Then the question is another question. Is he a Kohen? Maybe he's only a Kohen when he's born, and then he's mityaches to his father. As long as he's still part of his mother, what makes him a Kohen? That's an interesting question. Okay. So we've got a number of fascinating issues we have to deal with. Rulo said the Chachomim to him, now wait a minute, you're getting us very confused over here. If the issue is the way you presented it, that there's something about the Uber that prevents a Bat Yisrael who is married to a Kohen from eating her Eved, eating Truma, what's the difference who the mother is? It's irrelevant. You're telling me that the problem is the ownership of the Eved and that the Uber owns the Eved, correct? So who the heck cares whether the mother is a Bat Yisrael, the mother is a Bat Kohen? That's completely irrelevant. In the case that there's an Eved who belonged to a Kohen who left an Uber, you should have simply said, an Uber that belonged to a Kohen cannot be Machir. What are you telling me? A case of a Bat Yisrael? Who cares if she's a Bat Yisrael? You start us thinking in one direction. Does the mother have rights? Does she not have rights? It's completely irrelevant, because we're talking about Nifsei Tzon Barzel. And then all of a sudden you say, no, but actually the problem is that the Uber has rights. So then you should have just spoken about any woman who's married to a Kohen. If you're telling me that's the din of a Bat Yisrael, then the same thing would be true of a Bat Kohen, a Kohen who made. Couldn't you say the same words? Why are you confusing the issue? And on that note, the Gemara immediately opens with the question that of course, has raised. What was Rabbi Yossi's svara? Is the svara of Rabbi Yossi, Mishum de Kasovar, Ubar b'me'ezara zarhu? If he's insisting that this is a halacha dafkan a Bat Yisrael, so maybe what he's saying is that as long as that Uber hasn't been born, he's not a Kohen. Because his mother's not a Kohenet. And so he has not been mityaches achar aviv yet. He's still part of his mother. In which case he's a czar. If a czar owns an Eved, that Eved can't eat. If this Uber has rights, has property rights to the Eved, then of course the Eved can't eat. Because he's partially owned by a czar. So how could he be eating because of the chevek of the czar? So maybe that would be the reason. Oh, Dilmar, maybe his reasoning is based on the pasuk of Yelid Beito, Hu Yochal, and Midashin Yachil Bo. And therefore, he's Doresh Yelid Beito, meaning Yelud Ma'achil. Only once that child is born, then he can feed. But Sheino Yelud, if he has not yet been born, so then in Ma'achil, he cannot feed. Lamai Nafkamina, obviously, the biggest Nafkamina is immediately Lu'ubar B'me'e Kohenet. If now the case would be that the mother is a Kohenet, we're not going to call him a czar because of the chelik of the mother, so then either way he shouldn't pass it. So Rabba says, look, I mean, obviously, time in the Rabbi Yossi, the Kasavar Uber B'mei Zara, mean, that explains everything, right? I mean, the Mishnah makes sense. The Chachomim missed the meaning of Rabbi Yossi's psak. They thought that the meaning was the problem of the Yelud. That's why they asked him, who the heck cares if she's a bat Kohen or bat Yisrael? Never occurred to them, no, he's saying a whole different thing. He's saying that she's a Zar. In which case, obviously, only if it's a bat Yisrael should he say, but Kohen is a Zar. That fixes the whole Mishnah, says Rabbi. And what are we even talking about? Rabbi Yossi says, no, I insist that Rabbi Yossi's reasoning is nothing to do with Zarut. It has to do with the issue of Yelud Ma'achil, she'eno Yelud eino Ma'achil. So we immediately ask, of course, the Braita even works this out more powerfully. Meisvei, from Rula to Rabbi Yossi, they said to Rabbi Yossi, me'achir she'yadat talano abad Yisrael ha'kohen. Look, you said a testimony that a bat Yisrael who marries a Kohen and leaves her me'uberet, that the Uber prevents now the Avodim who are nichset son Barzel from eating the truma. Who cares? Bat Kohen le Kohen. Ma, what would you say about that? Amar lam, well, zu shamati, zelo shamati. I have to tell you, I only heard that the din is that an Uber passes a Bat Yisrael. I never heard, on the contrary, I was basically told that it's this case and only that case. Now, if that's the meaning, so then there doesn't seem to be any other interpretation. Because Iyamit Bishleim, if you're going to tell me that the logic of Rabbi Yossi is the way Rabba learned the Meritzisvara of Uber Bimei Zarazaru. So Bishleim Uber Bimei Zarazaru, I need to come and say Shamati Zolo Shamati. That would explain how he could say, well, I was taught only this case, and the other case, if the mother was a Kohenet, there was no problem. So, I mean, look, I'm just telling you what I was taught, and obviously this is the Svara. But if you're going to tell me, like Rabbi Yosef said, Eliyamid Yulud Ma'achil, Shehenu Yulud Ma'achil, how could he possibly say Zolo Shamati Zolo Shamati? It's the same case. The problem has nothing to do with the identification of the mother. The problem has to do with the fact that an Uber cannot be Machia if he has ownership in an Evet. So what does that... Well, how could he have said Zuchamati Vizula Shamati? Gosh, I don't know. I don't know how we could possibly attempt to explain the mission with that. Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Shmuel, this whole thing is only Rav Yossi Shita. The Chachomim disagree fundamentally, and they hold we don't have a problem with an Uber simply because the Uber does not have a kinyan. So what we need to establish is one thing and one thing only. Does this Eved have a master who's a Kohen? Well, I'd like you to figure out how he doesn't, because I don't care whether he's got cousins 10 times removed. Basically, yesh lo banim, ochle mishum banim. If he's got brothers, so what's the problem now? So they own now, the father now had other banim. So then he's going to eat now for the banim, because the sabvadim has masters. There's no banim. Does he have brothers? The father has brothers. He'll eat for the brothers. He doesn't have brothers. He'll eat for his grandfather's brothers, and children, and grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Basically, he's going to be eating from the whole mishpacha. Ochle mishpul mishpacha kula. If this is a mishpacha of Kohanim, and we go up always to the mishpacha ta'af from the nachala. So somewhere or another, he is owned by a Kohen, and therefore he's going to eat. And what's the difference if there's an Uber? So in other words, the Chachomim basically are saying, let's not even discuss the issue whether an Uber is Machil or not Machil. Let's not even discuss whether he's a Tzar or not, because it's completely irrelevant. All that's relevant is the people who have Kinyanim, Bafuke, the Uber who doesn't have Kinyanim, the people who have Kinyanim are Machil. What's the difference? So says, explain Shmuel. Now the truth is, as Tessus points out, I mean, we don't really know what the Chachamim hold. I mean, Shmuel is to some extent jumping to a conclusion, because the Chachamim never said whether they argue about the problem of Zara, they argue the problem of Yelud, they know Ma'achil, and they hold that Yelud has nothing to do with it, since it's a Tidik Kinyan Kaspo, or they hold that Uber doesn't have Kinyan. I mean, it's Shmuel who's making this assumption. And indeed, Tosfos says that he had a Kabbalah, that was the case. There was a Kabbalah from his Rebbe, even earlier than him, where the way the Brice is set up makes no difference, that the meaning of it makes no difference, is because there's no Kinyanim to the Uber. Okay? So therefore, the Chachamim don't agree with this. Now, when you're saying Zu Dibei Rabbi Yossi, that seems to be saying, of course, and I don't hold to that. I mean, that is only said by Rabbi Yossi. That's usually what those words mean. When somebody wants to distance himself from an opinion. So he says, well, that's the opinion of so-and-so. So then, are you saying Zo Velo Sfirlo? That Shmuel does not hold of Rabbi Yossi Svarta, but we know an actual Maisa, where Rabbi Shmuel told Rabbi Chana Bagarata, I want you to go out there and collect me 10 people, just like Boaz did when he was being Meyabim, and I want to be made in front of them. So I want to tell you in front of them, HaMizakel Ubar Kana, that an Uber has property rights. Forget about the issue over here of Truma. You're telling me if somebody can be Mizaka to an Uber, so obviously a Yerusha with the Torah is Mizaka to the Uber, means the Uber has property rights. So how can Shmuel say, it's only Rabbi Yossi? You yourself are saying precisely that in this testimony. Yes, sir. I don't know whether we could consider vicarious. So Ella Zo Visvirale. So that was okay. You're right, it was a little misleading, but he was saying this marvelous idea, which I agree with completely and wholeheartedly, was said by Rabbi Yossi. Isn't he wonderful? That's what he's saying. So then the Mishnah says that. I mean, so Michael Marshall, what's he teaching us? Zudiva Rabbi Yossi. Is he teaching us then? I guess the only thing that's left is you should know only Rabbi Yossi holds this. Rabbanan don't hold this. So Michael Mashmalan, the Pligi Rabbanan, like Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbi Yossi disagreed. The Rabbanan disagreed. Is that true? Umi Pligi, do indeed they argue on that Yesod. The Omar, Rabbi Zakai, Zo Edute Eid, Rabbi Yezmi, Pishmaya, Vavtayon, Vaudula. It says that in the end the Rabbanan gave in to him, and they agreed, because it was made that he had this Kabbalah from Shmaya Vavtayon. Says Ravashi, you're not reading carefully. Whenever we talk about an edut, we never talk about agree or not agree. We talk about accept or not accept. It's a big difference. How come it doesn't say the kiblo? Why doesn't it say they accepted the testimony? It doesn't say that. Mikatari the kiblo, it says vahudu. Vahudu means they agreed, meaning it's 100% logical. That's all they said, but not that they accepted that that's the halacha. In other words, all they were saying is the mistaber taina. But their own Kabbalah precluded this edut of Rabbi Yossi. So it's still fair for Shmuel. As a matter of fact, now it makes even more sense because this is quite confusing. So Shmuel had to come along and say, now don't get confused. They only agreed to the reasoning, but they were never Mekabel as they did. La halacha?
Hodu implies that they don't accept the
edus? No, but Hodu, where it should have said Kiblu, right. Implied, yeah. Right. Exactly.
When it says Hodu, you say only Hodu.
Only Hodu. Right. Which is fascinating, because the sense of Hodu
is an acceptance.
That's right. It's halal. Hodu Lashem. The same thing over here. It's brilliant. It's just wrong. Yes, indeed. Tosus points out that in Avinami, it's a problem. Shmuel holds usually the Dabar Shalom Bala Olam cannot. But Shmuel holds, as Tosus, that an Uber is considered to be Bala Olam. The fact that he's not born does not mean he doesn't have a Din of Bala Olam. He's present already. It's just sort of Mechusar Maisa. Mechusar Maisa is not a low Bala Olam. A low Bala Olam is existentially deficient, and this is a Maisa deficient. We're going to talk about that. Maybe he would be. What a disaster. Okay, we're going to get to that question as well. That includes boys and girls. So, let us continue. Turn around. He niach banim, if he left over sons, so then elu ve'elu ochlim. Whether we've got Avdei Malug or we've got Avdei Tzon Barzel, the Avdei Malug would eat because she is eating. The Avdei Tzon Barzel would eat themselves because there are bunny. And that is no problem. How about if he nichamu uberet and did not leave sons? So they're elu ve'elu inochli. Neither of them can eat because an uber is not machil imo and not the avadim. And in this case, the Bas Yisrael would not be allowed to eat because of the child. Yes. Right? He doesn't have any other children. How about if he left her pregnant and he left Bani? Oh. So then she eats because she's got children. In which case her avadim, meaning the Nifse Malug, eat. So if he nicha both Banim and Muberet, so Avdei Malug Ochlim, Kederach Sheyochelet. Avdei Tzon Barzel, there we get into the question of our Mishnah, Lo Ochlim. That's because of the chelek of the Ubar. Shah Ubar Kosel Veino Machio Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Mishum Aviv, Habat Ma'achelet, Habin Eino Ma'achel. This doesn't seem to make any sense at all. And we're going to discuss it later in the Gemara, try to figure out what he meant to say precisely. A daughter would be able to provide, but not a son. Rabbi Shimon Vayochai, Omer, Zicharim Yochlu, if they're Zicharim Yochelu. So then there's no problem. But if they're all Nekevot, then, lo yechelu. So in other words, if we've got one zohar among these sons, Then the avadim eat because of that zakar, and we're not worried about the chelek of the ubar at all, because it makes no difference, the chelek of the ubar. But if they're all nekevot, then we've got a problem, because over there, this is now the issue raised by our president. What is the ubar, a male or a female? In the case where there is a zakar among the children that were already born, the ubar is irrelevant. How is he going to be yorish? So the shayla over here is, if, however, they're kulam nekevot, then lo yochlu, shema yimatzei ubar zachar ve'en levanot b'makom ha'ben klum. If, however, they're all nekevot, so there shouldn't be a problem. If they're all nekevot, so then they're also like banim, right? The women are yorshot b'makom she'en ben. So why shouldn't they be able to be ma'achilot? Because maybe the only one who would be ma'achil would be the uber, if he's a zacher. But the uber doesn't have the kayak to be a ma'achil. So now we have a problem. But the chelek of the uber per se wouldn't bother us if we have heirs that can indeed be ma'achil. So if you have to worry about whether the uber is a zacher or nekeva, then we've got a problem. But if you've got a zacher now living who's not an uber, then it makes no difference. Because, first of all, the uber may be a nekeva, in which case he doesn't have any chelek at all. And even if he would be a zachar, we don't have to worry about him taking away the chelek of the others, because there's only a miut of a chance that this uber will be an actual yorish. Why? Because the chances are that he's not a yorish. First of all, 50% of the chances he's female. And there's also a small chance that he's not going to make it. In which case, it's less than a 50% chance that he is a yorish. So who cares about the uber? Now, of course, we seem to have a contradiction, which Gemara will ask him now. Says the Gemara, wait. You're saying because maybe the uber will be a zocher. In other words, you're telling me that the uber would create a problem. So then, my yorish emi yimatzei ubar zocher. Why is the issue only that he's a zocher? Why don't we say that even if he's in a keva, then a keva would passel, because you're telling me over here that there is the din that he has, the uber has a chela. So if they're all females, so if he's a female, he has a chela. Because once you're raising the issue as to whether the uber is involved as a yoresh, then you're telling me, but if he is involved, there's a problem. So in other words, you're agreeing fundamentally to Rav Yossi's approach that the uber would have kinyanim in the property, and that once he's got kinyanim, there's a problem, right? Nu. So if the uber is female, he's got kinyanim because all of his siblings are female. If he's a male, he's for sure got kinyanim, because he's the male. But, I mean, why are you raising the question of Shema Zachar? It's irrelevant. One way or the other. If he's a male, he's got a chelek. If he's a female, and they're all female, he's got a chelek. She's got a chelek. So therefore, why did you say that?
If the male would be the only female,
she would be found. What's that? Yes, right? She's pregnant and has living children that she's eating for. So therefore, I mean, what you're saying makes no sense. You can't raise the issue of the uber and then start wondering whether it's a male or whether it's a robe. Why did you raise this, Bichlal? Says the Gornah. Of course, it doesn't mean. He's trying to bring you face to face with the issues, because there are places, as we'll soon see, where it is relevant to determine what the chances are of the Yerusha of the uber. It's true that in this case, I'll leave it to Shimon Bar Yochai. It's irrelevant, but he has to bring it out. So Chodeh Va'ot Ka'omar. He's basically telling you one reason, forcing you to thinking, but, and then I'll say, yeah, well, of course. So in other words, first of all, even if she's in a cave, I mean, obviously it wouldn't matter. She would also pass it, because since over here there are no male Yorshim, so as in a cave, the Uber would be Yoreshet. Furthermore, maybe it's even more than that. Maybe this Uber's got the whole thing. In which case, maybe it's a Zachar Vein Levanot B'makom HaBen Klum. Okay, now, let me just go back and make sure I understand this. You said, Zechorim Yochel. Now, wait a minute. Why is that? What about the Uber? I'm really confused now. You said that the Uber does have a chelek, and yet you're telling me that if there's Zechorim, we don't have to worry, and that the Zechorim can feed the Eved, who is the Zitzon Barza, which is theirs. But I agree that an Uber has a chelek. Oh my God. I thought that was the whole point of Rav Yossi. If the Uber has a chelek, which you're agreeing to, because you're analyzing it as a zocher, it's a keva, I mean, it's obviously not irrelevant, so then by definition we have to worry about the chelek of the Uber, in the first case. So why if there's a Zechor and Yochel? Ah, now we understand why he raised the issue of the sex of the governor. Because Kasava ain cheshin lemiuta. That's the point. This Uber may be female. If the Uber is female anyway, she would have no chelik in the Yerusha because she has brothers. Therefore, she doesn't own the Eved. If this Uber is male, you're right, he would own the Eved. But what are the chances of his being a male who owns the Eved? Less than 50%. Again, because of the logic that we pointed out earlier. There is only a 50% chance of his being a male in the first place. And furthermore, maybe he's not a Yorish because he won't live long enough to be a Yorish. He's a Nathel. In which case, we don't have to worry about the small chance, which is less than half, that this Uber is a Yoresh, and that was the big chiddush of the Reisha. Who cares if she's pregnant? So this raises a whole new issue, which you didn't think of before. Forget about the din of a Zara, Bimei Azar, Azar Bimei Zara. Forget about the din whether you lead Ismachil, you lead Ismachil or not. And forget about the question of whether an Uber has property rights. The question is whether an Uber would be Yorish because of Chashino Miuta. There's really four different issues that need to be taken into consideration besides the question of whether we're dealing with the Avodim as Nifsei Melum or Nifsei Tzon Barzel. So to come up with a proper psak in this issue, you must keep five separate things clearly in mind. Are we happy? Very happy. The Ibait Ema, it's a wonder that scientists ever figured out how to do experiments without learning Gemara. Let me tell you, you have to separate every single issue and then do the experiment. Vibait Ema. Or, well, there's another possibility over here. Even if he would hold that Choshishin Lemiyuta, there's actually a sixth issue. The sixth issue is that there is an extent takona that Reb Nachman Amar Shmuel brought up. And Reb Nachman Amar Shmuel said, suppose you have over here yitomim. Whenever we use the word yitomim in this context, we mean yitomim kitanim. In other words, we view them as orphans rather than as simply heirs. If we're talking about bidolim, we're talking about heirs. If we're talking about orphans who need a father, then we're talking about kitanim. So they're coming now, and the question over here is, they can't really act for their own benefit. So now we have an agent of the court acting now as their, what's the word again? A guardian, thank you. He chooses, each one has an apotropos. These apotropos fight it out with each other for the benefit of their particular, what's the name, reference to it? A garden has a, what's the name of the apotropos' charge? The legal. No. Ward, yes, thank you. So each one of them now fights it out for his ward, and therefore we know that they're going to have the best possible arrangement because they'll go through it. So they're borelem chelak yafeh. If higdilu yecholim limchot, when they get older and they come of age, they can now fight it out again and say they don't agree with the choice of the guardian. So what use, therefore, was it? The use of it was that each one collected peirot without having to go through God knows what, all types of arguments, of his own chelik until such time as it was resettled. Whereas Reb Nachman today, Reb Nachman said, look, that's what Shmuel said. I must tell you, I disagree with that latter part. You can't have a court doing things which afterwards people can say, we don't like. If we made the takana, it means that the guardianship is basically empowered by the courts to do what they want, and it stands as if the yatomim did it on their own. But in any event, this little piece is not what interests us. What interests us is that in this case, obviously, where the uber is the ultimate yatom, I mean, he certainly can't take anybody to court. So in this case, we would also go through a guardianship. Now, obviously, the best thing, as far as all of the guardians are concerned, is that the avodim should fall to the chelak of the already born children so that they can eat. I mean, otherwise we've got a mess over here. I mean, so who's going to be now? We've got to buy food for them from the estate. That's crazy. We'd be able to use truma. So obviously all the guardians will agree, give the avodim, and make up to the uber with something else. Therefore, because of this standing gezerah, it really wouldn't matter whether we're cheshul miyut or not. You may go cheshul miyut. Let's say he's a male. But where you have a guardianship, the avodim are always going to fall to the achim. Therefore, Shemar Yochai said, the achim are already born. They can certainly be ma'achil, despite the fact that she's pregnant. Ha-ha, I didn't take that into consideration. Brilliant. Now, wait, so what are you saying? You're saying now, that doesn't make any sense. In other words, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is arguing on the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama is saying Avdei Tzon Barzel cannot eat. So apparently he doesn't hold of the Takana. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is saying they can eat. So he does hold of the Takana. You're now trying to tell me that Rav Nachman is Machlokas Tanoim? All of a sudden we discover Rav Nachman is a Machlokas Tanoim. That's crazy. But this was a minor Rav Nachman or Shmuel. No, the Kuleyana Itu the Rav Nachman. You're getting confused. There's two separate issues over here. If Lemaisa, there was a guardianship that was set up by the court. I mean, because of the fact that there should be a guardianship doesn't mean that there was a guardianship. It takes time till this takes place. Maybe the court didn't do it. So in a case where there is a guardianship, so then maybe Enoch Inami, we don't care about Hashim Lemiyut or not. Maybe everybody would agree to that. In the event that there was no guardianship set up, there we have a machlokas about Hashim Lemiyut. That's all that we're saying. But everybody agrees, Idlo the Rav Nachman, certainly if we had followed the Takana, then all would have agreed that they would eat. Okay. So far, so good. We've isolated six issues, and we're happy with them. Now, the piece that didn't make any sense was the question of Rabbi Shmuel of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel of Rabbi Yossi said, Bishum Aviv, Habat Ma'achil, and Habein Eno Ma'achil. What is that supposed to mean? Now, Ben, you were saying, is not Ma'achil. I mean, that's his father, Shita, because of the Chalko Shel Uber, right? So that's what the difference is. So, and if it's a bat, so then Bat Nami Lo Ta'achil Mipnei Chalko Shel Uber. In other words, what it seems to be saying is that if you've got a bat and not a ben, so then the bat can be machil the avadi. But if they're banim, then the banim can't, which certainly doesn't seem to make any sense at all. I mean, how could that be? Answers the Gemara, a brilliant answer. Omar Abaye, Alcha bin Echasim Muatim Askinan. You forgot a seventh issue. The seventh issue is that there is a takona that was built into the nature of a ketuvah. So that even though we don't find this written on our ketubah, remember that our ketubah is nothing but a very shortened form of a real ketubah, which doesn't need to be written anyway because it's all takanot. One of the important clauses in a ketubah is the clause of benot nukpin, the itlach minai. Any female children that you have from me, writes the husband in a ketubah, whether he does or doesn't, shall continue to eat from my estate until such time as they are happily married. Furthermore, they shall so continue to eat whether the estate can afford it or not. Meaning, even if this means destroying the estate for the sons, let the sons go out, they go beg money on the street, but let the daughters have the money to eat. Because we don't expose the girls to that type of horrific situation. They need to get married. That clause in a case with a nechasim muatim, meaning there's insufficient property to provide also the ownership for the bani, and to still be ma'achil the banot, that would mean that if there are banot, then they get all the money. That's what it's talking about over here. So here, we're talking about nechasim muatim askina. And it's talking about, therefore, not that they were all girls, but kigon de'ika ben bahade bat. There are now, there is a daughter that needs to eat, okay? And therefore, the halacha over here would be like this. The avadim are considered to be the bens, midiraisa, correct? Now, in which case? Let's think about the uber. Whatever the uber is, if he's an uber who's a zohar, so he's no better than this ben. Because this ben, the chachamim took the money away from and gave it over to the daughters, correct? He's certainly not going to be any stronger than the ben who was born that the chachamim took the money away from. So it's now in the rishus of the daughter, not in the rishus of the ben. If the uber is a bat, but an uber who is a bat certainly does not have any rishus in terms of the yerusha. So what are you going to say? But she has rishus until she's married. No, the rabbanan did not give that rishus with the takana to an uber. Where you have a living daughter, the father now has left over the right to be ma'achil. Right now there's no right to be ma'achil. She can't eat. Don't inject the food in utero. So that takon is not chal on the uber. Therefore, I don't have to worry about the rishus of the uber. An amazing situation. So there is a case where I need not worry about the rishus of the uber. If he's a ben, gets no rights because here it's nechasim muatim. If she's a bat, she gets no right because she hasn't been born. And therefore, in such a case, it would be true to say that the banot, and only the banot, would be able to be machil the eben. But then that's fine. No. So E Hardi Abra Benhu, let's see that inside. So Mamanashach, if the pregnancy now is of a male, so Adif Mihai, the Christ is certainly not going to be more powerful than the already born males. The Chachamim anyway took the money away from them. And Ibati Amai Achla, why would you think that as a bat, the Uber would have a right and therefore would not be able to be Ma'achil? That's only B'takanta Rabbanan. Kamed Elo Nafik La'avir Olam Lo Tekin Rabbanan. Until she's actually born, there's no takana. Very simple. Oh, hold on a minute. Excuse me. You said we're talking about Nechasim Mu'atim, and the banot have the rights. How do you read the Seifa? It said before, Shema Yimatzei Ha'ubar Zachar Ve'en Levanot B'makom Ben Klum. Now, does that make any sense, Reb Shiva Bar Yochai? Adarabah. If it's Nechasim Mu'atim, it goes Dafka to the banot. So what are you telling me? Maybe it'll be a Zachar. The banot minu. You're getting mixed up. We didn't say the whole case over here, which Rabbi Yochai included, was talking about Nechasim Mu'atim. We went back to discuss a normal case of Nechasim Merubim. It's just this strange mimer of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Noshua, Rabbi Yossi. Then when we needed to explain it, was talking about, I mean, anybody who reads it is shocked to hear about Ma'achil. What would that mean? So it speaks for itself that it's dealing with unique circumstances, those unique circumstances being Nechasim Mu'atim. So there, of course, we're talking about Nechasim Merubim. So, Seifa Atan Nechasim Merubim. But I don't understand, even if you're talking about Nechasim Mu'atim, I mean, who owns? There's a big difference between giving money to feed the banot and ownership of the estate. I mean, that's not the same thing at all. Ownership of the estate is what defines the right for Achilas Truma, not the ability to go and collect in court and to get the money from the estate. I mean, that's basically a lien, correct? What we're looking at is not liens. We're looking at kinyan kaspo. Are you going to try to tell me that nechasim mu'atim actually lifts the property out of the estate and hands it over to the women? But if that were the case, then suppose the males sold the property. Would the sale be ha? No. And yet the din is otherwise. Do we say nechasim mu'atim de banot nino, is it really owned by the girls? The Amar of Asi, Amar of Yochanan, Yitomim Shikadmu Machlu B'Nechasim Mu'atim. If the Yitomim up and illegally sell Nechasim Mu'atim because they know that the court's going to keep them from being able to get anything out of it, because it's all going to go to feed the girls, so they figure they might as well get cash. So they try to cash out quickly. So then Masha Machlu Machlu. No, it's a sale. Ooh. So then, no, here it means the Yitomim of any kind. It's irrelevant, as long as there was a kosher here. Ooh, so then that's a big problem. And what a brilliant shot it was, but now it's so hard to let go. Okay, what can you do? Ela, my bat, diktani. You know when it says over here, bat, it doesn't mean a bat. It means a mommy. That's the trap. That means that the bat is machila, referring to nichse malu, is the trap. A bat, the girl, so to speak, meaning who is now the aim here of the Uber. She would be Machalas, of course, because to her it's irrelevant. She's the owner. The Uber isn't the owner. The Uber belongs to the father, so to speak, in terms of Yerusha, not to her. So she would be Machalat Abbe Maluk, if she's Ochelet. The Bain, even though he's eating, he cannot be Machil. Why? Because of the Uber. That's the pshat. So my Batiktani aim. So I understand. So what do you mean, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, or Rabbi Shumavi? That's what Rabbi Yossi said! And all you did was mix us up with talking about, you know, bots and bends, and it was really just confusing. You didn't add anything. True, I didn't add anything if you think about it. But, I mean, nobody ever mentioned the difference between Nechse Malug and Nechse Tzom Barza before, except me. So I'm telling you, well, think about that additional point that you didn't mention before. Obviously, it doesn't mean I'm saying something new. It's all cooler, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi Katani. All of this is simply, the whole Mishnah has been quoted by Rabbi Shmuel in the name of this father. So the last piece, which he said, of course, we're only talking about Nechse Tzom Barza, we're not talking about Abdi Malug. There a bat, meaning a girl, a female, in this case the mother, would be Ma'achil if she's Ochelet, despite the fact that she's pregnant, which is strange. I mean, normally you look at the pregnancy as being her business. Here we're pointing out, actually the pregnancy is his business, not her business. So as long as she is eating Truma, she owns Avadim, she continues to be the Avadim. People point to her belly, she says, that's not mine. What? That's not mine. La Locha, the Yerusha, that belongs to the estate. But I don't belong to the estate. I've got my own avodah. That's what I'm pointing out. Lemaisa, the whole Mishnah basically is the result of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi expressing his father's shittas. And we often do this at the very end. We tell you where it is that we got this mamar. It's a Kula X. The Mishnah is Kula X. We know Rabbi Yossi Shita through Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Shall we leave tomorrow's sugya already as a sugya shleima? Perhaps yes. This is a complex sugya. All right. Do we need a brief review of it, or we've reviewed it consistently? It's good. It's simple as could be. What? No, not me. You're joking. You aren't joking.
I'm joking.
You're joking.
Yes, of course.
Of course. Right. So you weren't joking.